Israelis and Palestinians continued heavy shelling along the Gaza Strip today. Decades of tension have been exacerbated after a 16-year-old Palestinian boy was burned alive last week. The death of Mohammed Abu Khader has prompted calls for soul-searching among Israelis. Critics say Israel has to examine the vengeful factions within its own society. In the United States, many Jewish Americans support Israel politically and financially, but many do not. Regardless of their views, American Jews are immutably associated with Israel through their heritage. What does it mean to be part of an identity that diverges from your ideals? Leslie Hazelton is an agnostic Jew. She's written on the Middle East for publications including Time magazine and the New York Times. Hazelton says Israeli groups purposefully involve American Jews in their internal dialogue.
It continually represents itself more and more. In fact, the more right-wing it gets, the more it represents itself as the representative of, quote-unquote, the Jewish people. It's a problematic phrasing, the Jewish people. It's a kind of emotional blackmail, basically, that Israeli governments have played since the founding of the state on Jews abroad, and particularly on American Jews. For the older generation of American Jews, their image is plucky little Israel under attack, right? And the 1948 war, the War of Independence, the 1967 war, when Israel was attacked on all sides and so on. And it really seemed like Israel was going to be wiped off the map. But, you know, younger American Jews have only known Israel as an occupying power and as the fourth largest military power in the world. There was huge cognitive dissonance between what are generally accepted as Jewish values and the policies of the Israeli government in the West Bank and Gaza in Palestine. The older generation of American Jews, I think, tend to be rather exclusively Jewish. For a younger generation, it's, yes, I'm Jewish, and yes, I'm liberal, and yes, I'm agnostic, and in my case, and yes, I'm this, and yes, I'm feminist, and yes, and all these things work together. And when they do not work together, when you are Jewish and you see what is being done apparently in your name as a Jewish nation, this is something that just fills you with horror.
How has the death of Mohammed Abu Khader affected American Jews?
Well, I can't speak for all American Jews. All I can speak to is my horror on reading that for so many obvious reasons. I hate the way the Holocaust is always brought up, but obviously the association there is so strong. I know people whom I respect, whom I follow on Twitter and Facebook, whose opinions I very, very much respect, will always read anything they write, saying, who were holding out for days saying that, no, this can't have been Jews who did this. Jews don't do this, right? It has to be. And then there were really sort of ugly, homophobic stuff about how, it was an honor killing by his family because he looked gay or something like this. I mean, just disgusting stuff. But this immense denial of the possibility of what was, in fact, quite obvious from the very beginning, that this was Israeli thugs who had done this. Israeli terrorists, Jewish terrorists. Yes, we have them too.
I'm speaking with Leslie Hazelton, the author of a number of books, including Jerusalem, Jerusalem, A Memoir of War and Peace, Passion and Politics. You spent more than a decade living in Israel, but that was quite some time ago at this point. Have the politics of the country changed significantly in the time since you were there and since you've lived in Seattle area?
I hate to say this because those were 13 years of my life, you know, the formative. Basically, those were the years in which I became who I am today. There were people there whom I loved very, very deeply, who were very close to me, experiences there that are just part of me and so on. But the Israel I lived in no longer exists. The Israel I lived in was, for instance, in the 70s, there was one of the hot debates in Israel was, has Israel lost its soul? I mean, I know it's an absurd idea to think of a country as having a soul, but that was one of the big debates. And it said something that this would even be an issue. of course, it was never resolved. My point here is that is no longer an issue. No one even asks that question anymore.
We were talking a few minutes ago about the generational split. American Jews give not millions, but billions of dollars to the Israeli government, but to educational institutions, to hospitals, to various charity organizations. What does it indicate? Does it indicate guilt? Does it indicate support? Does it indicate hope on the part of American Jews?
It indicates the success of emotional blackmail. The attitude in Israel is that, you know, American Jews are there in order to give money, in order to put pressure on the American government, in order to keep that support coming and so on. And other than that, have absolutely no right to criticize or to... And when I say criticize, I don't mean destructive criticism. I mean constructive criticism. It seems to me, and it seems to an increasing number of younger American Jews, that if you really do love someone or something, you will do everything you can to prevent that person or that thing from going in the wrong direction, from going way downhill. You know, it's like watching someone you love on drugs, for instance. You're just going to let them continue. This constructive criticism is what I see in organizations that are mainly younger American Jews, like J Street, as opposed to AIPAC, which is almost a kind of knee-jerk support of every policy of the Israeli government.
If we're talking, Leslie, about that generational divide and the power of an emotional guilt trip, as the generation who thinks of Israel as a plucky little state dies out. I mean, we are all aging, and a new generation of American and world Jews comes to power.
Precisely.
Will they have that same relationship with this state?
Israel exists. Israel is not going to be wiped off the map and so on and so on. It exists. It will continue to exist. What kind of country it will be is another question altogether. And AIPAC, the America-Israel Political Action Committee, as you say, is aging out. J Street is in the ascent, which is has a far more rational, realistic take on what's happening with Israel-Palestine, far more concern with the values, with social justice, with political justice, with moving towards some kind of resolution, some kind of peaceful resolution. I mean, I hate to say peace because that's such a huge concept and it seems totally impossible right now, but at least moving in the right direction. So it's a different kind of love for Israel. It's a love that stems out of deep concern rather than automatic support, and I think I welcome it. It's way, way overdue. I welcome it. I admire these younger generations, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s of American Jews who are saying, no, that old way does not work. All you're doing is supporting occupation, and being an occupying power has clearly, it's corrupting, you know. After Israel, I was in Israel in 1967. I arrived there in 1966. And after the Six Days War, the first thing Ben-Gurion said, the founder of Israel, was, get out of there, give it all back. The West Bank, Gaza, no, this will corrupt. And instead, the settlement movement began within a few months. And he was right. And that corruption of values is incredibly painful, deeply, deeply. It pains me to talk about it right now.
Leslie, thank you so much for coming by and talking with me.
Thanks.
Seattle-based journalist Leslie Hazelton lived and worked in Jerusalem for 13 years. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.